the feedback from the patients that have used it, they appreciate the thoroughness of the intake. Because think about it from their perspective, you know, they fill out a couple pages with just a little bit of information. Then they go to another practitioner and that other practitioner is like, oh, here, take these 10 things and then come back in a week and I'll muscle test you, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And nobody really takes time to ask all those deep questions. And they may not love it, but they appreciate it. And they feel very seen, very heard, and very validated. Welcome to The Clinical Entrepreneur, a business podcast that's dedicated to healthcare practitioners just like you who are hustling every day to build a business and a life you're proud of. Join me, Rhonda Nelson, as I share my own experiences and extract actionable advice from industry experts about what it takes to build and scale a profitable wellness practice. Well, hey there, welcome back to the podcast. This week, we're going to be talking about my new patient intake forms. This is a clinical-based podcast today. I know everybody loves those, but I wanted to kind of bring you up to speed as to why I'm doing this podcast and what this evolution of these new patient intake forms has been. So over the years, you know how this is. If you've been in practice for any length of time, you know how this goes, right? We end up, you know, accumulating, you find, oh, I have this questionnaire, or I want to use this survey, or maybe it's a system survey or a toxicity questionnaire, or a digestive questionnaire. There's an adrenal health evaluation. There's a menopause evaluation. There's a reproductive hormones evaluation. Like the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And I ended up with all these different intake forms. And I felt frustrated for the patient because I was like, all these things, if I was sick, didn't feel good, and I wanted to sign up or work with a practitioner and they sent me like 8 things or 6 things to fill out, that would feel overwhelming to me. So it kind of got put on the back burner. I kept telling the team, like, we really need to get these fixed, but I need to find the time to go through them, fix it, correct it. So they started out by saying, all right, what forms can we combine? And so we started there. We kind of combined a few of them. And then from there, they got it sort of ready for me and then sent it over to me and said, all right, your turn, go. You go through the form and you delete the things that you don't think is important and add the things that you do. So I started marking up the form like crazy, adding fields, moving things around, all the things. And so it went back and forth between the team and I several times until we finally got it the way that we wanted it. So I had a very basic intake form because I had so many other ones. I had kind of thought, well, I felt bad for them. So I wasn't asking a lot of the questions that I really needed answers to. I just waited and asked them during the new patient intake. But that's not a very efficient way of use of my time or the patient's time. So I just thought, well, I'll simplify it. I'll just ask them, what are your top 5 concerns? You know, when did it start? In other words, the NBWS, right? Never been well since. When did that start? How long has it been going on? Was there a precipitating event? And how high would you rate this on your, you know, 1 to 5 priority wise? And that kind of gave me a good starting point, but I really knew it wasn't enough. So I want to go over why I'm going to basically kind of walk through. So if you can grab a pen, paper, take some notes, because I'm going to walk through this brand new patient or health intake form. If you're in Clinical Academy, you have this for free. It's going to be in there, but you can, if you want, just take some notes and then maybe go back and add them to your own new patient forms if you're not in Clinical Academy, which you should be if you are a wellness practitioner and you want protocols for everything. That's where they are, right there. Training and protocols. Here's where you go. RhondaNelson.com/Clinical Academy. That's it. Go in. $99 a month. Game changer. Okay. Back to the intake forms. So of course, I started at the top by asking, you know, name, date of birth, address, all that kind of stuff. I made sure that I had, like, you know, somebody else in emergency contact just in case, you know, I needed it. I added a genetic background, you know, ancestral background. So I added like Native American, Hispanic, because sometimes that's relevant depending on what's going on. I asked things like, you know, are you retired? Are you employed? How did you hear about us? All that kind of basic information. And then besides, you know, marital status and children and whatever, one question that I did add was I added, are you adopted? And I also added, what is your birth order? because that can affect or influence the way, the type of action taker that they are. And if they're adopted, I need to know that as well. I also asked if they have any pets and who lives in the home with them. So having pets in the home gives me information. And also, are they by themselves or do they have someone that's helping them, like a caregiver or young children at home? I kind of want to know. And then I asked about, like, you know, the pets, are they inside or outside, you know, et cetera. I ask about international travel. I'm sure you probably all do that. If so, were you sick? How long were you sick? That sort of thing. And then I start kind of digging into, you know, what kind of, emotional traumas have there been? Any major losses in their life? You know, what's happened in your life that has been kind of like that moment that you'll never forget, like the death of a loved one or a divorce or the, you know, death of a child or the illness of a child or your own illness, that kind of thing. And then I ask them, you know, how much their health challenges are impacting their work, their lifestyle, you know, that sort of thing. Then that's sort of my, I'll call that like the preamble. It's like the entry, right? I'm just kind of entering their space, getting to know them a little bit. Now I get into what I call the functional wellness part of the intake form. And in here, I'm asking them the same five, you know, rate your top five priorities. When was the date of onset, severity, et cetera. And then I ask about things like chronic pain, chronic inflammation, which I did not have those on my last form. And then I ask them what their health goals are. And instead of asking them, this is one of the things that I find that sometimes the patient will say, like if I say, what is your health goal? What's the patient going to say back? Well, I want to feel better. Well, duh, or you wouldn't be here. So what I did this time was I gave them options to choose from. So I'm going to read a few of them to you. One of them says, the question is, how do you feel about your current health situation? Please check all that apply. One of them says, I feel hopeless. Nothing ever seems to work. Now, a patient's never going to write that. They might, but they're going to say, well, I want to get better. One of them says, I don't like how I'm feeling, and I'm really hoping that you'll be able to help. One of them is, you know, as long as I know I'm getting better, I can be patient with the process. And one of them says, I'm almost too tired to try. My life is overwhelming, and I don't know if I can do it. That's a wide variety of answers, but it provides so much information for me about how I need to manage them, how many supplements I can give them. Right? I'm looking at the whole picture, not just the sick person that's sitting in front of me. And then I ask, you know, what would it be like? You know, what do you hope to achieve if you work with me? And then I always ask the magic wand questions. You know, if you could wave a magic wand and have one or two of your health concerns disappear, which ones would it be? That just gives me some insight about, you know, what's their priority. And then I also like to know what are the things that they can't do because of their health condition. And then, you know, it seems like we always kind of focus on the negative because when they don't feel good, it is a lot of negative. But I really like to kind of future pace them a little bit. In other words, what are five things that you can't wait to do when you're better? Do you hear how that shifts the energy? It shifts it. And now they're thinking like, okay, these are things I can't do, but oh, I'm so excited because when I'm better, I'm going to be able to do blah, 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 blah. So I want to shift that. I want them to start to see themselves as being well and healthy and whole. And then what are some other things that they might like to achieve during this process? And of course, I mentioned that I asked them about the never been well since. I asked them about their primary care doctor. When was the last time you went? And what was the reason? What was the diagnosis? I also asked them about alternative therapies. I kind of want to know, you know, what are they into? If let's say they mark Reiki, IV chelation and colonics. I'm like, okay, well, that's all they mark. Well, then that's all they know. So they don't know anything about homeopathy. They don't know anything about biofeedback. They don't know anything about light therapy or about Rolfing or iridology or whatever. I just want to know what their experience and exposure is. So then once that's kind of just a general wellness intake, now I'm going to get more personal. Now we're going to get into some more of the nitty gritty. So I'm asking for their height and their weight. I asked their highest adult weight and their lowest adult weight because I want to see what was that weight swing. And then I ask when, you know, do you have weight fluctuations? That's another question that I like to ask. Then the rest of this is really more into their symptoms. So the first thing that I'm asking about is their sleep. So things like, you know, how many hours do you sleep at night? Do you have trouble falling asleep, staying asleep, insomnia? Do you snore? Do you wake up in the middle of the night and look at your blue screen? You know, do you have a dark room when you sleep? Do you use nose strips? Do you take something before bed like NyQuil? Are there anything leading like a barking dog that makes you not sleep or a brand new baby? So I'm wanting that kind of information. Then I'm asking them about illnesses. And I kind of write a little description about this because I want them to think about this. Over the course of your life, what have been the illnesses? So I give like example, chicken pox, example, tonsillitis, anemia, bronchitis, pneumonia, strep throat, food poisoning. Like I write out some of the ones that are the most common because you know how it is. They forget. And we do too. Like if you said, what illnesses have you had? If you'd asked me an hour ago, chickenpox would not have been on my radar, but I did have chickenpox when I was a child. So we want to think about like prompting them a bit. So I'm asking them like, what are their illnesses? When did it happen? You know, did it recur? The dates? And then the same sort of thing with injuries. Like, did you have any broken bones? Did you fall off a bicycle? Did you hit your head on a cupboard? Did you smash your thumb? You know, when you were doing something, did you splash paint thinner in your eyes? Do you hear these things? These are all me, right? Smash my thumb bad. Paint thinner in my eyes. Yes, yes. So I want to know, what are the injuries? And then I'm asking them for diagnostic testing. This is where they sometimes will forget to give you their tests, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I just had blood work from my doctor. I couldn't even think about it. But I also want to know, what are the other diagnostic testing that they've had? Maybe an endoscopy, a colonoscopy, mammogram, thermogram, chest x-rays, CAT scan, EKG, MRI, bone density. So I kind of try and put some of those common ones on there so that it triggers them and they go, oh, yeah, I did have a bone density scan about 5 years ago. They won't remember unless you prompt them. Then I'm asking about surgeries, and I do the same thing. Like surgeries, like did you have your gallbladder removed? How about a tonsillectomy? Adenoids, did you have tubes in your ears? Did you have an appendectomy, hernia repair, hysterectomy, et cetera? Dental surgery too. I'll ask about that, like wisdom teeth or reconstructive surgery. Sometimes they don't want to tell you if they've had like breast reconstructive surgery or some other kind of lift or something like that. So prompt them, prompt them, prompt them. That's like the message to drive home here. And then I ask them about hospitalizations. When were you hospitalized? Because they'll forget about that. They think about injuries and illnesses, but they may not think about a hospital. I was in the hospital when I was a little girl for 6 days from blood poisoning. I had the red line running up my arm. And I had shots in my butt and, you know, all the specialists coming in and all the things. But I forget about that unless someone asks me about it. I think, oh, besides having babies, you know, being in the hospital for 48 hours, that was the only other time I was hospitalized. So you want to ask them and kind of prompt them. Then I ask a little bit more about their birth history. Now, I know whether they're adopted or not, but now I'm going to say, okay, tell me a little bit more about how you were born. Let's talk about that. Were you vaginal or C-section, full term? Were you nursed? Did your mother use an epidural? You know, were you bottle fed? What type of formula? Did your mother smoke? Was she on drugs? You know, was there alcohol involved? Was she on any hormone therapy, et cetera? And then I go into a little bit more about their food. So, you know, we often just do a food log, like for right now, like what are the things that you're eating now? But you and I both know that the foundation for what we eat often comes from childhood dietary habits. So that's where I like to start. As a child, what were your dietary habits? So I just ask them, I just have a list of maybe 20 things. And I say, okay, yes or no, did you eat these foods? Yes, no, or don't know. Did you eat these foods as a child? It could be like sweets, candy, cookies, donuts, brownies, boxed foods like Top Ramen, hot dogs, you know, and then I put in there like high quality meats, fruits and vegetables. Were you a vegetarian? Because maybe the child was raised in a vegetarian family. You see, that's going to have an impact on how I'm thinking about what the presenting symptoms are. And then I ask if there are any foods that they avoided as a child. And I'm kind of looking here for more things that might be things that they were either sensitive to, allergic to, or there could just have been a texture issue, right? They just didn't like the way it, like avocado or guacamole or, you know, something that's like spicy things I don't like or things that are crunchy or I don't like crunchy peanut butter, whatever it is. So that's what I'm getting at there. And then I ask about childhood illnesses. So this kind of dovetails on what was earlier, but I'm asking more specifically, meaning like, did you have any significant dental work? So did they knock out a front tooth Or did they have fluorosis in the teeth and they had to pull them? What about chicken pox? What about whooping cough? Any kind of seasonal allergies? Was there hyperactivity? Was there colic? Were you colicky as a baby? Maybe some behavior problems in school. Did you have ear infections and tubes? Did you have alcoholic parents? And did you have skin disorders like eczema is a good one? Exposure to secondhand smoke. So there's all kinds of information. And then I'm going now, we're still in kind of childhood, right? And of course, I'm going to ask about immunization history. And I just list out all the vaccines and I ask them to check them off. Now, can you imagine up to this point, and we're pretty close to being done here, can you imagine me asking them these questions in a new patient intake appointment? It would be 3 hours long. So they're going to get to, for instance, this part in the process, and they're going to look at immunization history and go, oh, I don't know, mom, can you tell me, do you have my immunization records? What was I immunized for? Mom may not know, and you might just say, I don't know. But nonetheless, we still want to ask the question. Then I go into family history. So just like you fill out at a doctor's office, right? You want to know cancer, mother, father, brother, sisters, maternal, paternal, aunt, uncle, et cetera. So all kinds of different things there. So I have all sorts of cancer, ADD, ADHD, anxiety, arthritis, autoimmune diseases, bladder disease, clotting disease, heart disease, emphysema, food sensitivities, IBD, MS, macular degeneration, Parkinson's, parasites, schizophrenia, all the things. So those are all listed. And then, of course, at the bottom, I say, please list anything that's not listed here. But that was pretty comprehensive. So that kind of stops right there. Now I'm asking them about their dental health. And we know that this is so, so important. In fact, in Clinical Academy coming up, if it's not in there yet, it's going to be soon. But we have a brand new series of lessons that are going to be in Clinical Academy all about dental health and managing issues that are related to root canals and how to optimize oral health, because the eyes are the window to the soul and the mouth is the window to the gut and the rest of the body. So it is the entrance point. So we really need to make sure that the mouth is doing well. So I go into dental history, like asking about gum health and, do you have any ringing in your ears? Is there any TMJ? How about cavities, coated tongue, halitosis, flossing history, root canals, mercury fillings? Did your mom have mercury fillings when she had you? Have you had fillings as an adult? Have you had your fillings removed as an adult? Do you have any caps or crowns? I know when I met my husband, we were dating and I asked him, I said, do you have any mercury fillings? And he said, nope. And then he showed me his mouth and sure enough, it was all white. And I thought, I don't know about that. Because what they'll do is the mercury filling goes in the tooth falls apart. They won't take the mercury filling out, but they'll cap over the top of it so you can't see it with the naked eye. So that was a problem. And that was indeed what had happened with my husband. So he's had all of those mercuries. You have to take the cap off, take the mercury out, put the cap back on. So it's expensive, but it's well worth it because we want to get that out of the body. So then the next section is I ask them to circle any of the teeth that they've had removed. So there's like a little dental chart on there with the tooth numbers. This is probably going to require them to get in contact with their dentist, but I think it's really important to know because you can get a tooth meridian chart and you can see when you've pulled a certain tooth or more than one tooth in the mouth, it correlates with all different organs in the body. And when you pull that tooth, you've disrupted that meridian. So we need to know what teeth are missing so that we know where there may be potential problems energetically in the body. And I'm asking about antibiotics, other medications. I have a whole section on over-the-counter and common prescription medications that they may or may not be taking. I ask them about their current medications. What are you taking? And then their supplements, of course. I want to know that. What supplements are you currently taking? And sometimes they'll say, I need more paper. And they're like 25, 30, 40 things. But that's okay. I want all of that information. And then I ask them, this is important. I ask them, are there any supplements that you would not take? Are there any that you would be comfortable taking? And especially if there's animal product in it. So sometimes people that are vegetarian or vegan, they don't want anything with any kind of glandulars or animal tissue in it. And so I need to know that. I also ask them how sensitive they are to things. Sometimes patients are just pretty sensitive. I'm then asking about allergy information. Then I get into their diet and lifestyle, the foods that they like to eat, the things that they don't like to eat. Have they ever been on maybe like a Weight Watchers program, or did they have a rapid weight loss because they were on some kind of a like calorie restricted diet kind of a thing? And I ask about just shopping habits. Like, you know, do you cook your own food? How often do you eat out? Do you shop for yourself? I ask them about the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 list. That's from EWG. I ask them, you know, what are kind of the foods that you eat on a regular basis? And are you a fast eater? Are you a slow eater? Do you eat because you have to, or do you eat because you're hungry? You want to think about like all the things that would apply to their eating habits. And then, well, of course, we all do this. We get a list of the foods that they eat. What I do is I separate it out by breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And I put the most common foods that the person might be eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And these includes healthy foods and unhealthy foods, because I want to know, right? What are you eating? Then I ask them, what foods are you eating more than 3 times a week? If I don't see any vegetables, that gives me information. If I don't see any meat, if I don't see any fats checked, then I need to know this so that I can address that supplementally. And then I ask them about like snacking and about things that they consume every day. This can affect like allergies, you know, if they're consuming the same food every single day. And I ask about water, and then I get into their bowel habits. You guys all know how to do that. And then tobacco, you know, any substances, substance abuse, smoking, vaping, you know, marijuana, mushrooms, CBD, all that kind of stuff. Then I ask about alcohol intake and exercise, but you guys got all that covered. And then finally, I kind of wrap up by, I don't know, I think I just like to know a little bit more about how they are socially. You know, do you have good, healthy relationships? Do you have a bestie? Do you go out with your bestie? Do you have such high stress that it limits you from going out and enjoying a really awesome life? Like, what's the anxiety level like for you on a daily basis? You know, did you feel safe when you were growing up? Were your parents alcoholics growing up? I've asked that question a couple of times throughout. And I asked them, have you ever done counseling? Do you feel like there is an excessive amount of stress? You know, rate your stress, financial stress, social stress on a 1 to 10 scale. I really like to know. Those are things that aren't going to come up in conversation necessarily, but they're important. I think as a clinician, it's important information for me to know. And then let's see, I'm like wrapping it up. There's another couple of things that have to do with social readjustment at the very end. And then I added in some information for just women. And then I added in a section for male history. Those are kind of at the end of the form. And what I did there was I took, remember I told you about all the questions and all the intake forms I had? I thought, okay, well, I'm either going to be dealing with a man or a woman. So I'm going to put the female information in there, the questions, and I'll put the male in there. And then I have one form for both adults, and then they can fill it out appropriately. So this form, we have it loaded in Practice Better, and it's 17 pages in Practice Better. As a Word document, it's about 30 pages long, but we've been able to kind of consolidate it in Practice Better. But so far, the feedback from the patients that have used it, they appreciate the thoroughness of the intake. Because think about it from their perspective, you know, they fill out a little, you know, couple pages with just a little bit of information. And then they go to another practitioner, and that other practitioner is like, oh, here, take these 10 things and then come back in a week and I'll muscle test you, or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever. And nobody really takes time to ask all those deep questions. And they may not love it, but they appreciate it. And they feel very seen, very heard, and very validated. So if you are in Clinical Academy, you have this. I have given you the Word document so you can customize it, put your own name, logo. You can use it. It is yours for free. If not, go back, listen to this podcast again, write these things down, because you can take your existing patient intake form and just augment it a little bit. Just start adding some things to it. One thing that I didn't say that I always add, and it's just because it's kind of a passion for me, is lichen sclerosis. I always add that question to the female intake form. I ask, do you have lichen sclerosis, or have you been diagnosed with lichen sclerosis? Or I think it says, do you have lichen sclerosis? Yes or no, or maybe, or unsure, I think I put. And then they can give me more information about that. But I have been passionate about helping women with this condition for many, 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 many years. And I've worked with so many women. And it's just one of those things that no one really talks about. Women don't really want to talk about it because it's so personal and a personal part of the body. And they are like, it's kind of not dinner table conversation. You know what I mean? So they don't really talk about it. But when someone asks, they go, oh, yeah, actually, I do. I would really love help with it. So I always put that in there. That's in the female section. So I hope this was helpful for you. I know I kind of went fast, didn't I? That was a lot of talking. I need a break now. I'm just teasing. So thanks for joining me on the podcast. As usual, go out, be yourself, be your rock star clinician that you are. I love having you in my world. Thanks for listening. I get such good feedback from so many of you all the time about how much you love the podcast. So if there's ever anything that you want me to chat about, talk about, I've got some controversial things that I'm rolling around in my mind at the moment. And I'm actually, it might be a little chicken to talk about it on the podcast. I might talk about it with my Clinical Academy people, but I'm not sure I'm brave enough to talk about it on the podcast. There's actually two topics that I want to talk about. So I'm having a little bit of a hot flash right now, just thinking about it. So I don't know if I'm going to share. So stay tuned. You might get another little side of me here in the next couple months. I may end up like breaking loose and just going for it. I just don't want to get censored. You know, they do that to you when you say stuff that they don't like, then they shut you down. And that wouldn't be fun either. So anyway, this was a good topic. I hope you loved it. If you did, you can always email support@rhondanelson.com. Give me your feedback, rate, review. Love to hear it. Take care. I'll see you next week on the podcast.